Welcome to the Coach Brittany Nicole podcast. I'm Brittany Nicole. I'm a career and life coach, and it's literally my job to help people reach their goals. I'm excited for this episode because I got a thing with AI. Me and AI go together real bad. It's kind of embarrassing. And I know AI is controversial, and I can understand why, but my point of view, at least at this juncture, is it's happening. This is the world that we live in. You have to adapt. You have to keep up with the tools and technology. And so me being techie and nerdy myself, when I was introduced to it last year, I played with it in a work setting, but I've also realized that there are some interesting ways to use AI to help you see things about yourself that you can't see. So I use it for self-reflective exercises with myself, reflective exercises with my coaching clients. And it's really fun, really easy, and accessible. So I'm going to talk about how to use AI toward the end of this discussion. But first, because the topic is how to kill imposter syndrome, specifically for introverts. So how this is going to work is I'm going to break down what imposter syndrome really is, where it really comes from. Then I will share strategies to overcome imposter syndrome using AI. And you need to have the understanding of what imposter syndrome really is in order for this exercise to work. That's why I'm going to explain it that way. So let's just get right into it. I'm going to attempt to kind of reverse engineer imposter syndrome. I want to break it apart so that we can see how it works. And then once we understand how it works, we have some tools on what to do about it. So one of the parts of imposter syndrome is value, because imposter syndrome causes you to question your value. So if we're going to reverse engineer imposter syndrome, and value is a big piece of it, we have to understand what value means. So I define value as importance, worth, or usefulness of something in a specific context, which means that something can be valuable in one context and the very same thing can be of less value or not valuable at all in another context. For example, if you're on a plane and the pilot passes out and the plane is crashing, but you're also a trained pilot, so now you're able to take over and land the plane and everybody's safe. That's hella valuable. But let's take those skills and put it in a totally different context. Let's say you're a passenger on a cruise ship and the ship is sinking. Your pilot training is not valuable at all in this situation. And it's not because the training has no inherent value, but because the context doesn't allow the value of your skill to be useful. So understand that value is based on context. Step number two is analyzing the context where you're not feeling valuable. Where are you feeling unsure of yourself? And this is something I see a lot with my introverted clients. We find ourselves in contexts that tend to value extroversion, so we feel like we're not enough. And it makes me think about my very first job that taught me this. I didn't even know introversion and extroversion was a thing, but I was struggling in this work environment because I felt like I didn't fit in, and I was looking for answers like I do, and realized that, oh, they expect me to be extroverted, and that's not me. So my first like real job was actually working for Benefit Cosmetics. I've talked about previously how my background was originally in makeup, and that's the direction I thought I was going to go. I was really, really excited to have that job. It paid well. It was kind of glamorous, and it was what I thought I wanted to do. But after I got hired and, you know, got comfortable in the role, I was getting feedback that I wasn't doing enough. I wasn't big enough. I wasn't taking up enough space with my personality because they wanted me to be this character. And You know, I speak about it as something that I struggled with, but it actually taught me a lot. Benefit actually taught me a lot about branding, because their whole company ethos is based off of a kind of like silly, sexy, bubbly personality type, which is cool. But that was not my vibe, especially not back then. So, you know, I would get feedback of not being energetic enough with my clients because they wanted me to act and portray this character. Well, they didn't really want me to act. They wanted me to be that person, but I wasn't that person. So I felt like I had to act in order to be considered valuable. And the thing was, I was good at my job. Like, I used to do, it was a brow bar, and I had graduated aesthetic school and I was doing waxing, and I was really, really good at doing brows. Like, I had a book of business and things were going well, but they wanted someone who sold in an extroverted way because they thought that that would move more products. And that's not the way that I sold. My way was not, oh, girl, let me get you and blah, blah, blah. And oh, yeah, la, la, la. That, like, you've never even heard me talk in that tone of voice. That's not my tone of voice at all. But that's what they wanted. My way of selling was more laid back. Like, listen, I'm good. You want this or nah? And that worked for me, but that didn't work for them. So retrospectively, I can say that was not a compatible role for me, because they were looking for me to play this character that they valued, because that's what the company was. Their brand was very much about this personality type, and that was not my personality type. So my personality type was not really valued in that environment. Now, years later, when I started working as a business analyst, that felt very natural for me. And I had my own office. I was able to focus and work quietly in the way that works for my brain. When I'm on something, I can sit and get in the zone for hours. And I am the kind of person where when I'm focusing on something, I dream about it. I think about what it is I'm trying to figure out in my dreams. And sometimes I wake up like, oh, there it is. So this environment allowed me to work in the way that felt natural for me. And I was very well respected in this job. I did well. I really enjoyed my job. I enjoyed my work relationships. And even after moving on from that company, I still have good business relationships because of how well I resonated in that role. So this goes for jobs, it goes for businesses, it goes for friendships, it goes for relationships. You're going to have the most success where there is the most natural resonance. So when you're thinking about the context where you're feeling unsure of yourself, another thing to consider is reflecting on your childhood and what traits were valued versus what traits were not. And what does that mean for you today? If you were brought up where being appeasing was considered a good thing, like if you're someone who, you know, you always put everyone first and you're so selfless and that's a righteous thing, that's what you were taught, then that value is baked into you. Or if you were brought up where being creative was considered frivolous, then that value is baked into you, the value of seriousness. So there's no way to get around the things that you were taught to believe about what is valuable and what isn't valuable. When you are brought to this world, you're raw, you know, and so you need input, and it's your environment's job to input things into you. But you at a certain point in your life had to have to decide, am I going to allow my environment to decide who I am, or do I get to decide who I am? At a certain point in your life, you develop the capacity to be able to look at yourself objectively and say, okay, this is who I was told to be, but that doesn't feel like who I am anymore. So I'm actually going to decide who I am. And that might mean holding on to some of the values that you were trained with, and it might mean letting go of some of them. I can say for myself, a value that I'm unlearning is busyness. I had this training that was like being busy is good and not being busy is lazy. And so that's what my programming tells me. And I've struggled with that for a while, and, you know, have burned myself out. And I am finally at a place where I'm like, okay, burning myself out constantly is not, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not sustainable. So I need to do something else. So I've had to sit with that belief and ask myself, where does this idea come from that not being busy is lazy? Do I still agree with that idea, or do I want some new ideas? And my conclusion is a little bit nuanced because I'm somebody who's very ambitious. I'm creative. I have a million ideas. I was raised hardworking, and I like to work hard when I'm passionate about something. So part of the belief stays with me. The drive stays with me. The desire for achievement stays with me. But I realize that it's not only okay for me to take breaks, but I need to take breaks. It's actually inefficient for me to not take breaks. I'm actually more creative when I take time to not work. And I'm not going to say I'm great at this yet, but I'm starting to get convinced, like, okay, it's not just work hard, play hard. It's work hard, play hard, rest hard. So that's a way that I am unlearning a value that I was taught. And as I evaluate opportunities for myself in this iteration of my life and of my career, I'm not going to put myself in environments that expect and expect busyness from me. I'm not going to be in environments that expect me to value busyness because I don't agree with that value anymore. So I've said a lot for step number two. Let me sum it up. For analyzing the context where you're not feeling sure about yourself, you want to ask yourself, in what context do you feel like an imposter? Now let's move on to step number three, which is look for resonance. And I need you to really, like, you can't think about resonance. You got to feel resonance with your bones. Resonance is not a logical experience. It's an emotional experience. So I describe the feeling of resonance as an exciting ease and effortlessness. And I, like, really think about how that feels. Being excited and being at ease are feelings that feel diametrically opposed to one another. Excitement is very high energy, whereas ease is very, like, calm energy. So you're looking for something that feels like both at the same time. It's exciting, yet it's effortless. It's not a fear type of exciting. It's like a, or even if there's fear, it's an excited type of fear and not a dread. Okay, so think of, like, the friend that you have that you can just look at and you know exactly what they're thinking and they know exactly what you're thinking. Actually, I saw my bestie earlier today and we literally had a whole private conversation in a group setting with eye contact, three words, and a hand gesture. That is resonance. That's what I'm talking about. So think about, or feel about, I should say, feel into the context in which you feel ease and effortlessness at the same time as you feel excited. That's flow. That's resonance. And when you experience flow or resonance, what are you doing? In what environments are you doing this, and what are you doing? So I'll use myself for an example. I'm a coach. Obviously, this is the Coach Brittany Nicole podcast. I have books that I've published. I have courses that I've written. I have this podcast, obviously. But you know what the common denominator is for me? Writing. Writing is where I experience resonance. Writing is where I have flow. I know logically what writer's block is, but I have never experienced it because when I sit down to write, the words come effortlessly. For so long, writing was like the only way that I felt like I could communicate. And so that's like my first language. And it's always been that way for me. Even as a child, writing has always been that way for me. So writing is the thing that I resonate with, like, the most. And this is why I'm always talking about journaling and self-reflection, because this is my gift. I truly feel writing is my gift and where I resonate. Now, let's say you don't recall resonance in your life at all. You've never experienced it, or you can't even relate to what I'm saying. Here is a logical way to try to identify resonance in your life. What is a problem that's easy for you to solve that's hard for others to solve? So maybe it's like you are the person that is, you like to plan vacations. And so in your friend groups, you're the ones that always plan the girls' trips or something. Perhaps that is natural for you. Or maybe cooking comes natural for you. I know, like, I be saying this, the next person that I date is going to, and have a long-term relationship with, is going to have to be somebody who likes to cook, because this Barbie doesn't like to cook. So don't sleep on the fact that you like to cook. Like, that might be where your resonance is. Not everybody resonates with cooking, because homegirl, I do not, okay? But maybe you are, and that's cool. I think we shortchange the things that we do well sometimes because, one, we think everybody can do it, and two, probably unfortunately, somebody trained us to devalue our gifts because they didn't see the value. But you have to remember, or try to remember, the times that you have experienced resonance in your life. Now, let's go on to step four. And here is where the AI part comes in. The way that I use AI is often like a pair of objective eyes. I use it a lot for analysis, not just in my work in data analytics and business consulting, but analyzing the patterns between concepts, especially concepts that seem to have nothing in common. I'm like, I am obsessed with patterns. I am obsessed with looking at dichotomies and finding trends in them. I could just do it for hours. Anyway, I won't nerd out too much on you on that. What I'm going to say is I have created a prompt that is going to walk you through the process that I described in this episode. So it's going to walk you through analyzing where you experience imposter syndrome, analyzing where you experience resonance, and then helping you to see the value of yourself in context that you resonate with versus context that you don't resonate with. This process might sound really simple. It might sound overly simplistic, and it kind of is a simple process. But the problem is, when you have imposter syndrome, it puts blind spots on you to your own value. So you do need or should I say, there's value in having an external point of view that can help you see what you're not seeing. So here's how you get it. I have created this amazing free course. This is a very, very easy course to do. It has videos, audio trainings, and exercises, all with the objective of helping you create the work-life balance that your parents never had. And I know we're busy in these streets, so this is not something that's going to take tons of time to do. You get one short video or short audio a week for 5 weeks. And honestly, I haven't seen anybody doing something like this for free, so I beg you to give this gift to yourself. Now, in the course, you'll see the AI prompt that I described that is based off of this episode. All you have to do is copy and paste the prompt into ChatGPT, and it's going to ask you some self-reflective questions. Then you get a personalized custom report. And I did this for myself recently, and I was able to identify some ways to improve my work style so I can actually have more energy throughout the day. So I beg you, like, take advantage of this resource. It's free, it's easy to use, and I think it can really unlock some things in you. I also want to recommend another resource of mine. It's called the Brag Book. And this is a printed self-coaching journal with over 100 prompts that help you to do the same thing we're talking about in this episode. Acknowledge your strengths, prove your inner imposter wrong by looking at the areas of your life where you're excelling and you're not giving yourself enough credit. So I will include a link to that in the show notes as well. So let's wrap this up. Here's the too long, didn't read version of this podcast. One, imposter syndrome happens when you cannot see your own value because your environment does not confirm your value. Two, a pilot is valuable on a crashing plane, not a sinking ship, okay? And three, you can confront your imposter syndrome by liking things that actually like you back. All right, so that's a wrap for this episode. To get the work-life plan, check out the show notes. And if this information was helpful to you, connect with me on Instagram and TikTok at Coach Brittany Nicole, where I share more daily strategies. And if you are interested in some one-on-one support and accountability, let's talk about your goals on a free call. I'll have a link in the show notes as well. So I thank you for listening to this episode of the Coach Brittany Nicole podcast, and I'll see you next time.